Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Well, hello, 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 everybody. I'm Tony Perkins. Welcome to my show that features Gary Stein.
That's me. I'm Gary Stein.
And I'm Tony Perkins. Who are you?
I'm Gary Stein. I'm featured on the show.
I'm not starring, I'm featured. Gary, let me just ask you a question. What happened
Why
to
am
your...
I featured?
Well, we'll get to that later. Let me just ask you.
Could you get to the point?
What happened to your voice this week? It sounds very different to me.
Yeah, yours sounds different too. I had some bad orange juice this morning, and it strained my vocal cords.
Did that follow surgery?
I had surgery as well.
It was
a very busy morning.
Just on the vocal cords or anything lower?
I'm just realizing maybe surgery of the vocal cord bits are not funny right now.
You're losing the Gary Stein voice now. All of a sudden, you are just back to being you, Tony.
Oh, my goodness. That is not how I sound.
Well, no, but I gave you some credit. I tried to use a deeper voice.
No, it was pretty good.
Very nice.
Hi, I'm Tony, and I'm feeling very good today.
I don't sound anything like that. I think
you sound a little bit like that.
You might sound like that in like 30 years.
Yeah.
You're giving a little bit of throatiness.
Who are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Who are you?
This is Rob Spiewak. He's with us again, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Rob Spiewak.
Always a pleasure.
On loan from the Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar Santana is busy. I almost forgot his name. That's not good.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Something happened where he went. He's in the hospital. Apparently, Rob got together with him, and I thought they were just going to have coffee. And now Oscar's out for weeks.
He had surgery on his vocal cords.
It was unwanted.
Yeah, it was forced.
Not elective surgery.
There was nothing wrong with the vocal cords before they got together.
Right. Yeah. But we'll see Oscar again soon. And Mr. Rob Ford Jr. is here.
Yeah. I am really distracted. Tony is wearing the shiniest shirt I've ever seen. There are three buttons on there, and he decided not to use a single one.
Yeah, that's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. You know what? I don't need to see that. I don't need to.
It's not tufts of hair.
How am I going to concentrate on what I want to say when that's going on?
I will say this, is that shirt matches the voice that Gary was doing for Tony.
Yeah, the voice is red? Is that what you're saying?
The voice is shiny.
I am wearing my Washington Nationals shirt. Now, we're not sure exactly when this show is going to air, but this show will air while the Nats are still in the thick of it. They're in the playoffs, and things are great, and go Nats.
Let me ask you a question. They are a baseball team, right?
Yes, they're a baseball team. You know baseball.
I'm kidding.
You're pretending.
I was pretending. Did you buy it? I'm a Yankee fan, and boy, do they suck.
Yeah, this is the first time since the early 90s, if I recall correctly, that they have not made the playoffs for two consecutive years.
I think you're right. And the only thing exciting about this year is watching everything that happens with Derek Jeter at every stadium.
And the
home game, his last home game
what
the other day.
What a finish that was.
Oh, and you know, you can't write a script like that where he gets the game-winning hit. And everybody's saying to me that it was a setup and that the pitcher just lobbed it in for him.
No.
You know what? And even if he did, you still have to be able to hit the ball to right field.
Right.
I don't think that happened.
I don't think it happened either, because these guys still compete. They still want to play. They don't want you to get this great shining moment, on them. So it wasn't a setup. And like you said, even if they try to, he still got to hit it.
You know, the classiest thing about watching that goodbye with Derek, walking around, and he goes out to shortstop, and he knelt down, and he licked some dirt, which I thought,
Didn't see that.
No, he didn't do that.
Really?
No. But the thing that I was the most impressed about.
That might have been later. Go ahead.
Can I finish? You don't let me get a word in edgewise.
You know
who used to say that?
Who?
My grandmother, who lived to 101, she would say things that slipped in from like the turn of the century. Like she would always say, "Oh, I have to run to the door, hold the wire." you know, on the phone. And I used to love those things.
Oh, sure.
But I just got completely lost. Sure.
No, you were going to say the best thing about watching the whole thing.
I think the best thing about watching that was that the team that just lost by a game-winning hit all got up and stood at the dugout to give Derek his props.
Sure.
And people were talking on the air a lot about the Orioles and about how classy it was that they were there to say goodbye to him, too. And
you have to respect that. You have to respect it.
And also, I think it was great for the game,
yes.
particularly coming off a bad couple weeks for the NFL,
yes.
for MLB, for Major League Baseball, to have a moment like that where one team, all eyes were on the one team and on the one guy. It makes the organization of Major League Baseball look fantastic.
Sure does. The other thing that I liked about it, being a broadcaster, because you can't script these moments and you don't know it's going to happen. You know, it's how the game played out. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's the ninth inning, it's a tie, and he comes to bat. It's his last at bat. You know that no matter what happens. Right.
Yeah.
And so that plays out the way it plays out. He gets the single, drives the run in, all of it, you know, the hoopla and everything. And the announcer, I don't know who the announcer was. I don't follow it that closely. Mm-hmm. But the announcer said, there it is. And then he says, fantasy becomes reality.
That's
and I
great.
Just said, what? That's a perfect thing to say.
It really is. You know what's not so perfect?
What?
I haven't had any, I don't think I've heard anybody say hoopla in a very long time.
Well, it usually precedes a brouhaha, doesn't it?
Hold the wire for the hoopla. You know,
Hold the wire for the hoopla.
That's the name of this episode.
Rob Ford, please write that down.
Hold the wire for the hoopla.
I like that. So it was great. And those moments become iconic. It's like the USA hockey team back in 1980.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes. Just great stuff.
And you know, and I mean this in the best of all possible ways. You know, I was very sorry that Derek was going to retire because he's meant so much.
Sure.
I remember his rookie year and I follow the Yankees religiously. He had a pretty bad year and he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is right for him to retire now.
True.
You know,
yeah.
he's going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time.
Absolutely.
And it's time to retire and he knew that.
Which I like.
And many athletes stay longer to the dance than they should. And he's not. He's done everything right.
Who's done that? Brett Favre.
You know what sport seems to have that happen the most?
Boxing. Yes.
Are we in sync?
Jinx.
Don't let anybody tell us that we're not
in sync.
That's right. Boxers hang around too long because they say they just can't give it up.
Well, that's what happens, I think, with a lot of athletes. You can't, and boxing in particular, it's just you out there. It's not a team thing. And once it's over, all of it goes away.
You're right.
Yeah.
You like the adoration. You like the fans. Everything that happens, you know.
But I get it. We don't like to see it. I don't like to see it. But I do understand it. And I you know, you just wish the ones who do walk away, like the Derek Jeters and those people, I respect it. I admire it. And I love that they realize, okay, that's it. It's time to go.
And I think the real hardest thing is to walk away and stay away.
Right.
Because how many people make that comeback
that
we kind of wish they wouldn't do because they're going to be remembered for the failures that followed the comeback? They don't usually come back better, do they?
That's right.
Anyone who's ever listened to the Frank Sinatra album, L.A. Is My Lady, or the Duets LPs.
I'm
a big Frank fan, but, you know, he should have eventually stayed retired.
Which leads me to, there's a brand new Streisand album out that Sarah, my wife, just got.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know that somebody's career is sort of heading a little bit, you know, into the sunset when they do a duets album.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Streisand just came out with a duets album because she can't hit some of those amazing notes she used to be able to hit. And I was sorry she did that, you know?
Have you listened to it?
Yes.
How is it?
You know what? She's so smart.
She's very
smart. She picked amazing people who can cover where she can't go, but you do hear it's still Streisand. And you know, one of the best cuts on the album is People with Stevie Wonder.
Oh, that's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
But she's better in the chest voice and in the middle tones than she is. She was known for going for those high belting,
soaring notes.
Yeah. And I loved her. I really did love Streisand.
My mom loves Streisand. Actually, I like Streisand. And I do respect her because she's very smart. And you put it the right way. Like with this duets album, maybe she's not hitting all the high notes, but it's, you know, she's not going to put out a shoddy product.
No way. And you know what I loved looking at? And you guys will appreciate this. From day one, she was with Columbia. Mm-hmm. And of course, I turned this thing to its spine to just see what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And it had that iconic Columbia logo.
Yep. Right.
And she's only been on one label her entire career.
Is that true?
Cool. Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
And she put out 50 albums, you know.
I think that is also the case with a label mate of hers, Bob Dylan. I think Bob Dylan has only been on Columbia. And you know what? Wow, their careers would span the same time period. Mm-hmm. Didn't she put her first album out in 62?
I think it was 62.
That's
I think,
when Dylan
yeah.
put his first
album
out.
They also had the same costume designer.
And Peter
same
Matz.
Same makeup artist.
Bob Mackie.
Right. And Peter Matz did both of their arrangements. Okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you where Barbara Streisand is very smart is I am not a tremendous fan. I appreciate the talent, but I've not collected her music. But I'm going to have to buy the Duets album because she does a virtual duet with Elvis.
She does.
And being an Elvis completist,
that's
I'll
the
have
last
to buy
cut.
The album.
Yeah.
Is it Love Me Tender?
It is. And it's the last cut on the album, and it's done very well. You know.
Good.
And, it's the Natalie Cole, Nat King Cole moment, you know.
Sure.
But see, all those duet albums seem to have that.
Now they do.
But they work well together. I think you know, Streisand's very strong, and obviously Elvis took direction. So.
I would like to hear that. I would like to hear that.
We'll have it on the next show. I will grab it and bring it in.
That
absolutely.
Would be very, very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I want to ask you one quick question, Rob, about Elvis, being an Elvis completist.
Yes.
There's a new album out. It's like the ultimate Elvis party album or something like
that. Yes, and this is a good release, and I'll tell you why. When Cirque du Soleil were high on the love success, they tried several other shows.
Yes.
And they did an Elvis show.
Yes.
And I think it was called Viva Elvis.
I think so.
The soundtrack was the best part.
Yeah.
Because RCA, Elvis was with RCA from 56 till the end. He started with Sun, so he was on two labels. But RCA was always big, even early on, with multi-tracking his recording, not for release, but just for the ease of editing later. So they were able to do a lot of neat things with even older recordings.
Mm-hmm.
They did a remix of one song in particular, Bossa Nova Baby, where they actually took an alternate vocal from
that I like,
and put a new hipper sort of background, not hip hop, but definitely a more dancey feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great vocal, and I don't say this often, this reboot of it is an improvement on the record.
Really?
And it was a limited release because the Cirque soundtrack wasn't all that easy to get.
I have it.
But this party album has that version of Bossa Nova on it.
That's great.
And it's excellent. It's a good selection of Elvis tunes.
The Cirque du Soleil release, my biggest criticism of that was it was too short. I think it was only like eight tracks or something like that.
And they did a lot of work with Suspicious Minds as well, which I thought they did a great job with. They made it sound almost like a U2 feel.
They modernized it.
And the vocal is still, of course, exceptional.
Okay.
You know, I admire the fact that you know so much about it for a savant. You could probably talk for 2 hours about all that you know about Elvis, and it's very, very sad.
Well, you know, it's a misspent youth.
We all have our things.
We do.
He's Elvis. I'm Beatles. You're
God knows what.
Sarah Vaughan.
Really. I'm a jazz fanatic, but Sarah Vaughan, Sarah Partridge.
Who's your favorite besides your wife?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite artist?
My favorite jazz artists are Sarah Vaughan and Joe Williams.
Okay.
And they are my favorite artists because I love jazz vocals, and I think no one was ever better than Sarah Vaughan. I like Mel Torme too, you know, but and also
see, I've never been a Mel Torme fan.
Well, he could scat like nobody else. Mm-hmm. He really could. But I like a lot of genres. You know that I like classic rock, and I like Broadway, you know, and don't say a word about that.
No, Broadway, Streisand.
Something.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. That's right. That
and,
is right.
And you know what?
Settle down, you two.
We are a modern show.
Some cliches are not true. just ask my wife. So, you know what?
It's a little braggadocio.
It's our podcast, and we can go anywhere we want.
That's very true.
So I like so many different genres, but jazz is my favorite.
Oh,
and it turned
fine.
Out that my wife, she wasn't singing when we met. And it turned out that she's an amazing jazz singer.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, are you saying that she began singing after you met because of the relationship that made her that happy?
Or did
that
you
brought the singing to her?
I can tell the whole story, but it will be the entire show.
No,
are
let's
you ready
not
for
do
that, Rob?
No. And Mike just called, said, don't do that.
Okay.
Oh, the red phone under the cake.
The bat phone rang.
But I do have a question. Yes. Since she didn't sing before,
yeah.
Did you force her to be a jazz singer? Are you like an Ike Turner? She's Annie Mae Bullock.
You know what? I'll tell you one quick thing, because this story will come up some other time.
Okay.
I was writing for comics at the Improv, mm-hmm. and it was the height of karaoke, which I still think is the death of America. But
it's fun.
Because really, most people who get up shouldn't sing.
No, that's right.
But so I was writing at the Improv and dating Sarah, and she was with me at a table at the Improv and in the outer room where karaoke was happening. And I said, well, you said you sang in college. Why don't you get up and sing something? And she said, oh, we're not going to find anything. And I said, well, let me look. And I found an Elevators Only arrangement of Summertime.
An Elevators Only? What does that mean?
Tony, let me explain that
to
you.
Oh, does that mean like a Muzak version?
A totally, yes, unimpressive Muzak version in a key that probably wasn't hers, you know?
I thought it was the name of a group, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Now it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody's going to come up
with
it.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So she got up and she sang this Elevators Only arrangement of Summertime, and the place went crazy.
Wow.
And she came back to the table, and I said, what are you going to do with this? And she said, what am I going to do with what? I said, you don't know what you just did? And I said to her, if I can find some gigs for you, would you be interested in going out and singing? You have an amazing voice. And I went up and down Melrose Avenue in L.A., and I wound up booking her every Thursday night into Tony Danza's restaurant.
Wow.
It was called Maddie's. Maddie was Tony's brother. And every Thursday night, she probably knew 10 songs. And after playing there a year, she knew like 200 songs. And then I started to book her into the jazz clubs all over L.A., and she became a real jazz singer.
When she was at the Who's the Boss Cafe, was she playing...
Were you waiting to say that?
No, just a moment. Just a moment. Was she playing against recorded tracks, or did she have live accompaniment?
I really don't know. She had a pianist there named David.
Okay.
You know what? I knew one pianist in L.A. who was married to one of my close friends. And I said, my girlfriend sings, and I got her a gig. Do you want to do that? And David and Sarah did that gig for a year.
That's cool.
That's
and it was
cool.
It was a wonderful time, because I used to go in every Thursday night and eat for free.
That's what's...
let me tell you something. That's what this story is about.
Yeah. That's the takeaway?
That's the takeaway. Boy, could they make a shrimp parmesan, you know?
Sarah would be going, how am I doing? How am I doing? Yeah. Please, I'm eating.
Really? Come on, the appetizer's here. I'll talk to you later.
Later, please.
Just keep singing until I'm finished eating.
Have we gotten anything yet?
No, we do have to start the show.
This is what the show is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
really
is. We have a lot that we want to get to, and so actually, let's jump in right now.
But first, let's see if you can read my mind.
What's that? Oh, yes. Thank you.
So the answer on that is what? Yes?
No, it took a second. We're 20 minutes in. We forgot this. Hey, thank you for listening. We love that you listen. Please like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Follow us at T Perk Show on Twitter. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching More Broadcasting and then clicking on the Tony Perkins Show.
While you're there, take a moment to leave a 5-star review and a nice comment or two. It really helps them stay in the forefront. I think you guys were new and noteworthy again this week.
Yes,
really?
we were on iTunes podcast in a different category this
Society
time.
And culture.
Society and culture.
Oh, wow.
And you know what?
What?
You know, I think...
Rob is shocked. Yeah. I don't know why.
I'd like to know which one brings the society and which one brings the culture.
Well, you know what? But we're in that groove again, talking about Streisand and all that stuff. That's cultured stuff.
You know, we are really something. Mm-hmm.
Look at you two go. Fantastic.
Look at us go. Look at you go.
Hey, since we're talking about music, I want to do this every now and then. And
okay.
Gary, I encourage you to do it too. If you hear something.
Only if I want to.
Only if you want to. I'm not going to force you like you force your wife to sing. If there's something that you hear that you like music-wise that you want to share with people, do that. And I love music. I love all, as you can probably tell, I love all genres of music.
Yes.
I'm not an opera fan. That's about the only thing I like jazz. I like pop music. I'm a big pop music. Motown, R&B, hip-hop.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Heard a song. I saw the movie The Heartbreak Kid on cable.
The revival.
The newer version, not a revival, not a Broadway show. it's the newer one, although it's from 2007 with Ben Stiller.
Right.
I don't remember who the actress was. She's gorgeous, the main actress, a couple of them. But anyway, it had a great soundtrack, so good that it made me want to go out and get the music that was in the movie. Well, it turns out it's hard to find this stuff. I finally found it on Amazon.
I bet the record was better than the film.
I enjoyed the film.
Did you?
Yeah, it's
did,
not
did
as
you see
good
the original?
I saw the original.
Charles
yeah.
Grodin and Cybill Shepherd
well, you
were
can't,
like,
you're
forget
not gonna
it.
Beat,
it was
you,
incredible.
You can't beat Charles Grodin or no. Cybill Shepherd.
No.
But it's a good movie. It's a good modern movie. Anyway, there's a song in the movie. This is not a new song, but it's my favorite new song. Can you cue it up, please?
Well, I think the setup was longer.
Oh, yeah. I can't even pronounce the name of this artist. Azamati?
I think it's Azamotli.
Azamotli?
There's an L-I at the end.
This song is called After Party. Listen to this. I love this tune. You
sure it's not Basmati?
I wonder if we'll ever find the party that lasts all night. There's a vibe in the city I've never felt before in my life.
Isn't this a good groove?
You nice. Know what? I really like this. Yeah.
And I want to get to the chorus because I love the chorus. It's got a little Spanish in it. And it, listen.
If we're gonna get it right, got to hold each other tight tonight. And the people of the world say, oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, mommy, the list I like after party.
This song makes you move.
Yeah,
yes,
it does. It's good.
There's a little latter day Motown to it, like maybe a little Marvin Gaye groove.
I could see that.
Yeah, nice.
I could see that.
Very
anyway,
nice.
It's not a new song. This track is from 2007. It's called After Party. Azamotli, I think.
I believe so.
Azamotli, maybe?
Search After Party.
It's over. Okay, yeah. But it's from the soundtrack to the movie The Heartbreak Kid. Check it out. Lots of good music on that. There's another artist on the CD that I'd never heard of called The Weepies. Have you heard of The Weepies?
No.
I've suffered from them.
The Black Eyed Peas, I've heard of.
Yeah, Rob?
Azamotli takes their name from the Nahuatl word for the Aztec astrological symbol of the monkey, which is also the god of dance, fire, and the new harvest in music.
Wow.
Okay, it's not that he's a genius. He's reading his computer. I just want everybody... I just want you to know that did not come off the top of his head.
If he did, we'd have to let him go because it'd be too frightening.
It really would, wouldn't it? You know, that's he's not allowed though. To be smarter than us. It's just not fair, you know?
Anyway, good tune. Check it out. It's
love
on the soundtrack.
It.
I just wanted to share that with you.
I like the fact that as long as I've known you, you have always looked for... any music that like interests you, anything on the radio you've chased and you've said, let me find out who that, you know, when record stores were around, remember that?
Yes.
Sure. You used to live in record stores.
Yeah, well, you and I.
We would go to Tower.
When we worked at Good Morning America.
Tower in New York.
That one was, it was on.
66th and Broadway. That was the big one.
The big one.
And you and I would spend an hour there.
Absolutely.
I would be standing in front of Streisand, that section.
Yeah. And we would be on different floors.
We were.
It was three floors.
Right.
Oh my God, I love this place. We would do our show, Good Morning America, go to the office, and then at the end of the day sometimes, I would go over there. I would go home sometimes with a bag of 9-10 CDs, a couple of DVDs. Loved it.
It's closed now, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're all closed. HMV, they're all closed. Virgin Records
terrible.
Is, I think, is that still open in Times Square, or is that gone?
That's gone.
But that was another great record store.
Yeah.
You know what? One of the things that was really so much fun for me when Tony and I would go to Tower is that, I've said this before on the show, he's a billionaire.
Yes, of course.
please, don't interrupt.
It's not true.
Tony, stop right now. Okay. So we would.
Would a billionaire take that?
He just did.
So so it was a lot of fun for me. We would be in Tower, and he would leave. He's underestimating this. He would leave with 15 to 20 CDs, and I would leave with one.
Yeah.
And I saved up all week.
Yeah.
Tony would grab anything that appealed to him. But frankly, if I liked something, he'd add it to his bag, and he would buy me like CDs. This is the most generous person I've ever met in my life.
Oh, so he didn't buy it to prevent you from getting it?
No. but
well,
Tony,
that's good.
Tony was able to walk through and just, you know, buy what he wanted, but he really, and
I love music.
He'd listen to everything, and then he'd report back and say, hey, you know, when we walked through, listen to this. You're going to, and I just loved your enthusiasm for music.
Well, thank
I really,
you very much.
Really
I,
always
I just
did.
Love it, and I like to share it.
Yeah.
I like to share it.
It's the best thing about music, really. If you can't share music, there's really very little point to it.
Absolutely
agree. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
The same way.
Our time at Good Morning America, which we've mentioned before, as we're doing this podcast, it's giving us a chance to kind of reminisce and talk about a lot of things because there were many, many aspects to that job that you would never guess, you would never think about. And some of the experiences I think we mentioned on a previous show were absolutely fantastic, and some were pretty tough.
Yes, and we had a million of them. You know, we really have a lot of stories to tell. That's why I think this show can go on for about 50 years. Because so many, we've had a lot of experiences off GMA and on GMA, but something reminded me of something that happened to us. I was walking down the street the other day, and a guy had an eye patch on under his glasses and obviously had some kind of an incident. Mm-hmm. And of course, it reminded me of one of the standouts for us, which was we covered many, many hurricanes, and there was one particular hurricane. I don't remember which one it was.
I don't remember which one it was.
I think it was either Francis or Ivan.
I think you're right. It was one of those. Yeah. Maybe Francis. We were in
New Smyrna Beach,
Florida.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this thing began in such a weird way. I don't know if I can actually use this reference and have anybody understand it besides Rob Spiewak. But we were, you know, they would put us up in a place. They couldn't find a hotel for us. They found a bed and breakfast. But it reminded me of this of the set of Key Largo.
Okay. Mm.
So we're in this bed and breakfast, and it's the only thing open because part of the hurricane has hit already.
Right.
There's no electricity anywhere, but there's some in this bed and breakfast.
Well, but that area had been evacuated, and these folks decided—
Refused to leave
because they had some regulars and some local people who didn't want to stay in maybe
their own homes. That's right.
And this very nice family, I wish I could remember their name, but they ran the bed and breakfast. They stayed open, quote-unquote.
It was owned by Martha.
Martha, was that her name,
yes,
really?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she an old man in a wheelchair?
No. See, now you got to explain that's a Key Largo reference
Key
to
Largo.
Lionel Barrymore.
Lionel Barrymore also was I guess it was a hotel, not a bed and breakfast.
It was a hotel.
But he was in a wheelchair the whole movie.
You know what was ironic, though, about Lionel Barrymore's career? Look how many times he chose to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it always worked out for him, didn't it?
Really?
Did he really need a wheelchair?
Yes.
He did towards the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
After It's a Wonderful Life. He wound up, I don't know, it was polio or what, but all the rest of his roles were in a wheelchair.
Which role was he?
Oh, no, no, he was in a wheelchair in It's a Wonderful Life.
Is he Mr. Potter?
Mr. Potter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But you can see him walk in Grand Hotel earlier on.
Yes, he did. He did.
And you know what? I am now risking my job with Mike O'Mara. I'm going too old-timey. Please go back to Martha. Right away.
Back to Martha.
And my apologies.
So we're in New Smyrna Beach, and the people in this bed and breakfast, there was a guy. Tony, you have to do an impression. An impression of the guy who lived in the town, but he would sit and rock on a chair in the wraparound porch.
Okay.
And he would talk to us. And Tony, do a version of the guy
he
talking.
He was an older man, kind of had a hillbilly look to him.
Right.
You know, have you seen Utopia on Fox yet?
I have not.
Okay, there's a guy on that show who's an old hillbilly.
This is an older man who looked like he needed a shower.
A shave.
Yeah.
This is how, these were the things he was saying to us. Does he get beer or not?
Right. And we would say, really? How often did that happen?
I'm not kidding. Maybe take it all back.
Wow, I hope you got over that. And so we would see him on the way out to go to the set.
So to be clear, you didn't understand, but you pretended to understand.
I swear, the whole time we were there. And
3 days.
Here's the funny thing.
Wow.
Again, Gary and I, you know, we're tight. The first interaction with the guy, Gary, our eyes go right to each other, it's like, are you getting this? I'm not getting this. But you know, the guy's talking to us, so we're just the guy either, I don't know what he thought. Maybe he couldn't understand us because we're responding. We don't know what we're responding to.
Oh, I think he was thinking, what's wrong with the way these guys speak?
Right? Yeah.
Probably heard you guys having like a thick aristocratic British accent.
All that society and culture.
Well, that's right.
There were a lot of cuckoo birds in that bed and breakfast, which just made it more fun.
Now
we had something happen that was more intense than I think any other hurricane. We were getting winds at 60 miles an hour.
Or higher, I think.
Well, it started this way.
Started at 60, right.
And they wanted us to broadcast from the beach.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So we would leave Smyrna Beach.
Good pictures.
And go about 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And all of our vehicles, our satellite truck, our camera truck, we parked in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to go into the parking lot building, down the stairs, and then out to the beach to broadcast.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
I wish you wouldn't.
Well, no, just for one, just to say, because, you know, people wonder, and they saw me, Al Roker, whatever, these people out in the middle of these hurricanes, and they think, that's crazy. And it is crazy, but we would take the maximum care that we could to be as protected as we could safe. You don't want to jeopardize your life. So the car, you know, if we had to be leaning up against the back of a building and then run out, do the shot and run back, that's what we would do.
And that was really, you know, I give Paul Erdek a lot of credit, who was our production manager,
and
he would make sure that the truck was parked in a place where we could get a signal. In the biz, it's called, you know, we're doing an uplink back to New York, and they're doing a downlink to pull it in.
Right.
And we had very few incidents where we went out and they didn't have us.
You covered many hurricanes.
Yes.
How early was this in your hurricane coverage?
This was a couple of years in.
So you had your stripes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this was about 2002.
He had his stripes already. When I first joined Good Morning America, I had never covered anything like this.
And I will say this, I've said it to you, became an excellent emergency weather producer. That's a whole different kind of producing.
Thank you.
Not like anything he had done before, Mr. Entertainment and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the first couple of ones, I said, let me take somebody else instead of Gary. But then Gary started going, and man, we got it done.
We did. Awesome. We did. And we were in situations, man, where, you know, some were really dangerous. We did some hurricanes where right next to us, windows were popping out of high-rise buildings, and we're broadcasting.
Wow.
And people never saw that, but we, you know, I would pull him in sometimes out of danger and say, come in here until the next hit. Mm-hmm. I'd throw him back out. We'd do the hit. Smyrna, we're broadcasting from the beach, and now the winds are somewhere between 60 and 80 miles an hour. So the wind is blowing sideways, and so is sand. And to get to that door, to get outside to where we would broadcast from, I had never experienced this before. I got out from behind a pillar to go to the stairs to get out there. And every time I got out from behind the pillar, I was pinned back behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a camera cable, and I needed to pull myself with the camera cable to get
against
to the door to
it's
get
crazy.
Into the building to then go outside with you.
Yep.
We were being blown around. And you know what?
This was one of the worst storms we did.
It was. But you on camera, you looked amazing because I'm sorry to say, you were being blown back and forth. You really were. By the wind.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
And now we can air this episode. Now we've cleaned it up. So he was being moved by the wind.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
I was, I got to say something. I was worried about him in many hurricanes and worried about myself. But my job was to protect him and make sure that he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I was pulling him back in because we could barely move.
Wow.
But I started to rub my eye, and I kept feeling like I had a piece of sand in my eye, and I kept trying to wipe it out, and my eye was tearing for the next couple of hours. And when we finally, and they made us do updates.
So we weren't just
broadcasting 7 to 9 because we were doing updates for the West
Coast. For the
West
Coast show.
And we're there an extra hour.
Until noon.
I was going to say until noon, right?
And it was, man, it was rough. It was so rough. And we don't know, but at this point, the new Smyrna Beach bed and breakfast has lost its power, which always happens to us.
Sure. Yeah.
Ultimately, we're in a hotel with no power,
yep.
and we're trying to, you know, get food. And
trees are down. down on the roadways.
It's hard to even get back anywhere.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right. That's right.
So I'm rubbing my eye and rubbing my eye, and it's tearing like crazy.
And hurting. It was hurting.
It was hurting, and I just couldn't get that piece of sand out. And we finally finish, and I know I'm in trouble. My one eye is squinting. I look like Popeye. And I get back to the satellite truck, mm-hmm. pulling my way back to the satellite truck. I get in. Paul Erdek is in there. And I say, look, there's something wrong. I mean, I do you see any sand in my eye? And he said, I don't think it's sand. If you don't see anything there, I think you probably have a corneal abrasion. Mm. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Across this rickety bridge to get mm-hmm. back to New Smyrna Beach, mm-hmm. the cop said, do not go over that bridge.
Right.
But on the other side of the bridge, there was a hospital.
That's right. Mm.
And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't open my eye.
Right.
And Paul said, I know what we're going to do. I'm driving you across the bridge. I said, wait. I don't want you to put your life in danger here, Paul. He goes, no. Yeah. We got to get you to the hospital.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this man, he lives in Florida now. He was a great ops producer.
And he knew, you know,
he was our
go-to
guy.
More of these situations than we had been, and he knew right away, sand, wind,
we gotta go.
Corneal abrasion.
And every time Tony and I did a hurricane, we requested Paul or one other guy because we got to know who the best ones were.
Right.
If we needed an uplink, he was going to make sure we got one. So he drove me across the bridge, and the bridge looked like it was rocking back and forth. We went across, and I didn't care because I was, you know, my eye was killing me.
Sure.
But Paul, I'll never forget it.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Sure.
Because here's the crazy part. So I'm with the cameraman. We go back to the bed and breakfast, which is now out of power. So, and it's getting darker. It's in the afternoon,
yep.
and it's, you know, it's raining. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
We go there, and so Paul and Gary have gone off to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of there, you know, just with the camera guy and these nice people.
Sure, that you can't understand.
Can't understand some of them.
Right, exactly. He sits and talks to the guy. You're not going to believe what happened to Gary.
Right.
You know, and who knows what he said back.
It was boom power.
So I get into the emergency room, and they have this amazing thing that they drop in your eye. It's yellow, and it shows immediately if you have a corneal abrasion. As soon as they put the drop in, the pain was gone, and they said, you have a corneal abrasion. They put a patch on my eye. They taped it over. They said, you're going to be fine, but do not take this off for 24 hours. Paul drove us back to the bed and breakfast, and he took me up.
Same bridge?
Well, no, we didn't have to go. We were over it now.
Okay.
So we could get to the bed and breakfast.
Oh, okay.
And he guided me. Our rooms were in a separate building at the bed and breakfast, up a flight of stairs. And it was a decent room. Mm-hmm. Now it had no power, no air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So these places were always wet. And you were sweating like crazy.
Sure.
But I got into bed, and I had brought a little DVD player with me, and I was trying to just sort of relax and watch a movie. And I don't want to. I don't want to. Claire Trevor came in.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
You know,
edit that out. Lauren
Bacall was there. Bogart.
Okay.
Send this segment to the Claire Trevor estate.
Yes.
One day, I have a great Claire Trevor story. And I'm serious.
That'll be a bonus episode.
Yeah, or not.
Or will it?
Yeah. You talk about old timey, man. I will get there. I'll be telling stories about Jolson. Although Tony won't appreciate that, but it's all about blackface. And, you know, black people do not like Al Jolson.
No.
So this we can all agree on.
Yeah. Okay. So now I don't want to embarrass him. I don't. But this was a very touching moment. So I'm laying down in bed, and I've got this patch on my eye. And he walks in. He now knows that we're back from the hospital, and he wants to see how I am.
Mm-hmm.
I get up, and I say I'm okay. And his eyes filled up, and a tear dropped from his eye. And he said, and I said, What are you so upset about? And he said, I feel like this is my fault because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. And I said, are you kidding me? Tony, this is my job. I got hurt on the job. This had nothing to do with you. And we hugged. And I said, come on, man, you know, this is my job. I'm supposed to do this. But I have to say, you know, again, we could make a lot of jokes about that moment. I am not going there. I was so touched by how touched he was that I was injured.
I was upset.
Yeah. He was really upset. And I didn't, you know, and so I was very moved by that. But then I didn't think it was a good idea for me to stay and produce the next day because they wanted another day out of this.
Okay.
And we really sent an SOS back to New York. And they agreed that a producer that was actually not too far away would come in and pinch hit.
Okay.
So they got me a flight, and I went home. And I was glad to be home, but I really wasn't glad to leave him.
If I recall correctly, you didn't go home immediately, though. You were kind of laid up at that bed and breakfast for, was it a day?
No,
Did you get out?
I got out because it wasn't as late as you think it was when we got back to the bed and breakfast. I got out sometime late that night.
Okay, all right.
And I wasn't, I have to say, I wanted to be with Tony because this was a dangerous situation. But I felt like I wasn't going to be that effective because I couldn't see real well. I had no pain anymore, but I had no depth perception.
Right.
It's a tough call, and you know, we actually talk about it on the O'Mara show a lot. We really hate missing a day because of sickness.
That's right.
You can't come in and put the other guys at risk.
Right.
No.
But you also feel like you're somehow letting them down.
Right.
And it puts you in a lose-lose. Yeah,
which I didn't think at all.
I did not want to leave him. I wanted to be part of this until it was over, you know. But Bill Cunningham came in. I'm sure he did a very good job.
Yeah.
So I'm home. And I don't need to be in bed or anything, so I'm watching Good Morning America, and I wait for the first weather hit to see how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching the television, and my jaw drops. He has a patch on his eye. And the first, here's the first thing, I'm going to let Tony take over in a minute. Here's the first thing I think. Oh my God, he's paying homage to me.
That's what I thought.
You know? He's wearing a patch in honor of my injury.
Sure.
But then he starts it, and you must tell what happened, but you also must tell what the control room ultimately did.
Yeah.
Because they made you do this. So go ahead, you finish.
Okay. I'm sure you at first thought, oh, this is wonderful. And then probably you also thought, is he mocking me? What is this? Unbelievably. I guess at the same time that morning, I also got sand in my eye.
No.
Wow.
Didn't feel the effects until later.
But you were in a new location.
Was I in a new spot?
Tony, you were moved to Alabama, and you were really upset that you had to go to another state when basically the storm was over.
That morning in Alabama,
you did wind up getting a corneal abrasion.
Yeah, so I also got a corneal abrasion.
Wow.
Went to the hospital before air.
Yep. And the same thing. They put the liquid in your eye. So did we have the same doctor or did I?
No, because you
went. I was in a different spot.
You were in a different state.
See, my memory was that I saw the same guy that you saw.
Well, I think the nearest hospital to Alabama is in Florida. So it might have been the same doctor.
You might be right.
You know what? Who knows? It was so long ago.
Maybe you got
the corneal abrasion that night and you wound up going to the hospital.
Right.
And I know you called into the RIM, which was our, how do you describe the RIM?
The brain trust back making all the assignments for Good Morning
overnight.
Right. So I ended up having to call. Same thing. Put the liquid in my eye. You got to cover this 24 hours. Put the patch on. Here we go.
Was it like a gauze patch or a classic like a pirate patch?
Okay.
So you weren't trying out a new character for your stand-up act up?
No, that's good anyway.
Perkins of Penzance.
Very good.
That is good. So I had the patch on, and we called. I had to call Good Morning America, call the RIM and the control room, and say, look, just so you know, I have now also gotten a corneal abrasion. I have a patch on my eye. Blah, blah, blah.
If you don't want me on air, let me know.
Right.
Because sometimes if Tony was sick or whatever, if they didn't have a covered meteorologist, they would do the weather hits themselves.
Right.
Somebody would write it for them and they would read it.
Right.
So he gave them the option to say, look, if you don't want a guy on the air with a patch on his eye, I don't have to do it.
I don't know. It makes it exciting, though.
Well, and they say, you know, I'm sure I'm out there. They feel like, okay, well, you know, as long as you explain it.
Okay.
Blah, right.
Blah. So I went on the air. I go on, I've got the patch, I explain it, I don't, you know, I'm not alarming anybody or anything like that, and I go on with the weather, and afterwards, man, the phone rang, or the whatever it was we had in the truck,
right.
And they were like, you can't be on the air with that eye patch, it looks horrible.
What?
I mean, it looks
why are you on the air? They were actually saying, like, why are you on the air with the patch on your eye? Everyone's going to feel sorry for you, it looks terrible. He said,
I called in. Right. Now, here's the funny thing. One of them said, well, can you take the patch off for the other hit? I'm like, No, I can't take the patch
always
off.
Always a lot of warmth.
Right,
always
right.
warmth.
It's
I'm
my
injured.
New thing. It's
I'm
my injured. New thing I'm doing.
And I mean, I get it. I know where they were coming from.
Yeah.
And you know. But
you did explain that it needed to stay on for 24
right,
hours.
That's
yeah.
what
you know?
The doctor said.
And they told you, you're off the air for the rest of the show. And you waited... You waited overnight to do this. You traveled to another state.
Oh, that's right. Don't,
you know,
so you had to be livid.
I blocked some of this out.
I think you did, yeah. but I remember all of it.
Yeah.
You gave them an out. You got on air. You got up at 4, like
yeah,
we always
that's
did,
right. and, then they
and you did
off.
The thing. And they told you to stay off the
yeah.
air.
Yeah,
don't come back on.
Bitter.
And they flew him
so
home.
So bitter.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not bitter.
No, it's I get it.
You know, I guess the point of all of this is the wide variety of experiences. And again, covering these hurricanes, dangerous and all that kind of stuff, but it was also very exciting.
Of course.
Your adrenaline gets going. You want to do a good job. You're in the middle of it and all that kind of thing.
And Tony, you know, to boil it down to business.
Yeah.
Every time we did something that was dangerous or mm-hmm. a big storm or whatever, it rated like crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yes,
and
yes.
they wanted us to be out
Absolutely.
There because it was
Absolutely.
Very good for the show.
And also, it probably had to help that not only are you great on air and you've got a great producer, but the fact that you're friends, you're
yeah.
going through it together,
yeah.
that
yes.
probably helps multifold.
Absolutely.
We've always said that in the worst moments, we would joke with each other and laugh because that's all you could do.
Of course.
There was another storm. I don't remember where this one was. Again, down south after a hurricane, you know, I think it was like day 2 or something like that after the hurricane had come through, but there was damage. It was flooding.
Yeah.
Wherever we were, Anderson Cooper was also there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were all kind of in the same space where mm-hmm. there was flooding. And we're standing in hip waders.
Yes.
In floodwaters. I wish I could remember what town this was. And while we're doing our report, someone says, hey, you know, the zoo over here, the alligator zoo is flooded. So the alligators are out.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yes.
We're like, what?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're out. Be careful. There may be an alligator.
And while you're at it, can you throw a toaster in here?
Yeah.
Because
really?
Exactly. we're feeling
That's
dangerous
right.
today.
That's right. That's yeah. right. It was crazy.
It was right outside of Panama City Beach, Florida.
Oh, okay.
That's where
All right.
we were.
All right.
Yikes.
And do you know that we saw more of Panama City Beach every hurricane season? We would wind up flying to the panhandle, and then they would tell us, you would keep checking back with our meteorologists in New mm-hmm. York, and they would tell us where we needed to get to
yeah.
for 6 a.m. the next morning to show them first picture. What you and I learned from all those years is that there were lots of condos and things in Panama City Beach,
mm-hmm.
Destin,
oh, yeah.
Destin yes. you know.
Destin,
and,
that's right. Yeah.
We would go to Destin a lot, and I would think, there is no way I will ever buy a condo in Panama City Beach.
Yeah, you sure learned where.
Oh, boy.
Why do these people live here?
Yeah.
But here's a little secret about the morning shows and how they work. When you know the storm is coming and you're tracking it and you're, you know, storms turn, sometimes
sure.
you don't know exactly where it's going to go, but you take your best guess and we would fly down to Panama City or someplace.
Often they would send us to Texas and say, we don't know where you're going.
Just wait there.
But at 4 o'clock, you're flying to Texas.
Right. Then
wow.
you go to where and you get as close as you can be and all of that kind of thing.
And part of my job was to keep checking the weather reports
yeah,
all day. So
me
we'd
too.
we'd be in like a day. Well, yes, exactly. And he knew way more about the weather than I did. But we would be checking, you know, we'd be watching channels. When you watch the Weather Channel, we'd call back to New York. But it was my job as the producer to make sure that by 6 o'clock the next morning we were in the right place.
Right, that's right.
And there was one particular hurricane that we were covering, and I knew we were like, I don't know, somewhere in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And and Tony was exhausted, and he went to bed, and I said, you need to go to sleep because I don't think we're staying here. So he went to sleep for 5 hours.
Okay.
I let him sleep all afternoon because I knew we were going to be on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad news, and I decided this, I didn't wait for the rim. I knew that we needed to be in the Louisiana Bayou.
Okay.
So I wake Tony up after 5 hours and I say, we're all leaving caravan style, the satellite truck, the camera truck, and us in the front truck, and we're driving to the bayou, and I've timed it out. We're going to get there at 3 a.m. And we know that that's where the best picture is going to be.
Yeah.
We're not going to a hotel. We're going to sleep in the van, and we're in a swamp,
right.
and we drove all night. And that was like very bad news for everybody, especially our substitute production manager, who was sleeping through the entire thing as I was trying to plan where were we going to go. And when I let him know that we were going, he went, "Ah, do we have to?" And I kept telling him, I kept telling him to come down to our room where we were planning where we were going to go.
This is funny.
An hour later, he still hasn't come downstairs, and I never lose my temper.
Oh, this was Gary was furious because, you know, time is of the essence. And Gary's plotting all this out. He's being very smart. Lets me sleep. Lets the guy who's got to drive sleep.
Uh-huh.
But then when it's time, okay, we got to move. We got to go.
Right.
We got to go.
It's go time.
He calls the guy upstairs. Come on down. We're planning the route. And you got maps out. And all.
Yeah,
it's like
I want you to see.
In the army. Yeah.
So I call him a second time. Where are you? He goes, yeah, I'm on my way down. And I'll be there. And then I think 20 minutes, goes by.
20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Now I grab the phone and I say, what the hell are you doing? Get down here right now. I've never done that before.
Yeah,
I totally lost my temper.
He was furious.
And Tony said, I have never seen you do that.
Yeah.
And I said, he's jeopardizing our live shot for tomorrow morning.
Was he feeling, in retrospect, do you think by dragging his feet he wasn't going to have to go?
No.
His answer was.
Go ahead.
I'm watching TV.
He said, I'm watching CNN. And I said, it's not your job to watch CNN.
Right.
It's my job.
Right.
Come downstairs so I can tell you where we're going.
He's trying to figure out where else. Now, this is the difference between a good operations manager and a bad. A good one knows we got to get in the thick of it.
Sure.
And we're going to take all the precautions. We'll do what we can. This one just was like, can't we go somewhere else?
And Road Warrior Paul Erdek never would shy away from.
God, no.
He would say to me, we're up all night, gents. We're up all night. We got to get to. We're going to get him on the phone one day because I know where he is.
We should.
And he was our favorite.
He was fantastic.
Get him on at like 3 a.m.
I think that's the only time he's up. Yeah.
That would be great. Just call at 3 a.m. Paul, we got to get to Panama City. His reaction would probably be, okay.
I'll be right there.
Peak Paul hours.
You know what? We won't do it now, but if we called Paul Erdek right now and we simply said, I think I have a corneal abrasion, he would know exactly who it was. Because I've told him for years since, you are my hero because that bridge didn't stop you.
Yeah,
you could have said, corneal abrasion? Good luck with that.
Right. And he was the one who said, no, we're going. We got to go. And I mean, the bridge was shut down. Oh, no, you can't go.
The cops told us not to go over again.
And finally, the cops said, well, if you're going to go, you're on your own.
Well, if I went to anyone at CBS and said I had a corneal abrasion, they wouldn't even loan me sunglasses.
Well, this was quite an experience, but there were many of them. But we thought, you know what? Over the course of this podcast, we got a lot of stories to tell.
I marvel at the fact that you guys, I had never thought about it, but it makes perfect sense, trying to think where the storm is going to be when you hit the air.
Yes, because it doesn't matter where it is now.
Right, you got to be thinking at 6 a.m.
Right.
Yes,
that's
where
right.
is it tomorrow?
That's fascinating.
Right. You want to get in a particular quadrant of the storm so that you do have a shot at getting a signal out.
Right.
You don't want to be in the worst place where the storm's going to be.
But you want pictures.
Then you're not going to be broadcast.
Well, used to say to us, we need to be where the eye of the storm has just passed.
Right,
we can't be where the eye's about to hit.
Right.
Because if it did, we're probably toast.
Yeah.
So Tony would kind of make sure that we're right after it or we're in a place where we're getting the edges of it. So we're getting nailed, but we're not getting nailed in the most dangerous of ways.
I remember once staying, we were in a hotel. And when I say stay, it's like you're just kind of there waiting it out and waiting for the next show 24 hours later, whatever it is. And it was on a higher floor because I remember we were kind of sharing this room with a couple of other crews.
You're right.
Yeah.
There were no rooms.
Right. And the balcony, the windows, this was another one of those condo type situations.
Yes.
Faced out to the ocean.
Of
so
course.
It's beautiful on a beautiful day.
Right.
But this, I remember standing there. We're all in our raincoats and everything. And, you know, some guy sleeping in the back and the toilets don't work. So we're trying to be, you know, don't do anything major. In there,
some things happened over the balcony that probably surprised a few people.
That's the eye of the storm.
Yeah. The person in the room downstairs is like, I don't believe what's happening in this hurricane.
Somebody might have gotten the yellow liquid in their eye, but it wasn't for a corneal abrasion.
It's raining, but it's not cats and dogs.
It's the worst hurricane ever. But I
why does this burn so much?
I remember us standing, looking at the window, and looking at the water whip
rising
up and the rain, and I remember us saying, we better go in the back because we thought the plate glass was going to blow.
Oh my God!
These are crazy situations.
Do you remember that every once in a while we would just look at each other and say, "What are we doing here?
Oh yeah,
what are we doing here?
Some sort of wiring in your head that says anytime that they told people to get out, that's when you were going.
You should go to. We talked about this on one of the podcasts, but not in this detail.
And there were times where we were just kind of looking at each other and say, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And there were other times where we go, what is... I'm a black guy from Washington, D.C. You're a Jew from New York. What are we? Why are we in the middle of this? We don't want to. This is not what we do.
No.
This is not what we do.
I didn't sign up for danger. If I did, I needed to know all of that.
I don't run into danger. I'm the guy at the movie theater when the woman, when the person says, you know, this house could be haunted. I'm like, don't buy the house. Don't buy the house. Why are you buying the house?
We're not really heroes, you know. We don't run to danger. But we learned how to deal, you know. Yeah.
I'm proud of it. I am very proud of it.
I am too. But, you know, even you, I have to say, when I took the job and they described the job to me, they said, you know, you'll be covering the weather with Tony, which was an afterthought. And they said, but mostly you're responsible for the entertainment for Tony. And then, you know, if Diane and Charlie do entertainment downstairs, you'll come up with the ideas for it. Okay. And they said, you'll do the weather. It'll be fine. I had no idea I was going to be standing under skyscrapers and I was going to be in danger. I'm sure Rhonda was too. My wife was always worried when we were out there.
Of course.
As soon as the live shots were done, I would have to call home and say, I'm fine. Yeah. Everything's good. You'd be on the phone with Rhonda.
Yep.
It was a while. But you know what? I don't regret that we did this.
I don't either. I'm very proud of it. And when I left Good Morning America, David Weston, the president of ABC News, sent out a great email about the things that had gone on while I was there. And he counted. I don't remember the number, but I think it was like Tony has covered 18 hurricanes in his 6.5 years or whatever it was.
Wow,
and even I was like, wow, that's crazy.
I was very, very touched because when you and I left the show after all those years of danger, they gave each one of us an umbrella. And I thought, you know,
very nice.
Thoughtful, sparing no expense, and actually it was something they probably had to think about for 10 seconds.
Mine was a beautiful Good Morning America umbrella. Gary's was a Dwayne Reed umbrella.
Gary got the one that when it rains in New York, the umbrella people just sort of sprout out on the streets, and they'll sell you an umbrella for $100.
That's right.
No one knows where they come from or where they go.
I got a kick out of it because I thought it was a joke. I opened that one for the first time when it rained, and it went inside out immediately.
We wanted to try to play a game.
We've played the game. The game was called Hurricanes and Tony and Gary.
I think we have time to try and... do you think we have time?
I think we'll do a little... You know, we'll do some of the game.
We'll do the game?
We can have some game show music, please, Rob.
Here it is. It's time to play another Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein game.
Yay.
That's not a good title.
Gary Stein's got game.
Yeah. What is the premise of this game?
Well, Tony.
Just like in rehearsal.
You know, and he tried so hard to just do like a nice intro. And
I know.
It's so hard to play it straight here. All right, forget the music now, please, because you're distracting me.
Of course.
The game is called... Now, we've done word games before. It's not like that.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
That's a callback. That was a callback.
Yes, it is.
This game is called The Origins of Expressions.
Mm.
It's the expressions that we've been using our whole lives.
Okay.
But we don't really know where they came from.
Okay. Like, hold on to the wire? Is that what your grandmother said?
Hold on to the wire.
We know where that came from. That came from Grandma Sadie.
Okay, of course.
Well, she invented it.
She did.
Hold on to the wire is an expression sometimes used when someone's in the electric chair.
Of course. Now I know.
Just hold on to this wire.
And now we're going to play a fun game show?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is happy as a clam.
Now let me ask you, what's the game? Are you just telling us these? Or are we guessing or what?
Wow, you just cannot go with this, can you?
Well, no, I just want to know
here's,
the rules.
Here's what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to say the expression, and you guys are going to try to figure out the origin.
Okay.
How was that?
Okay,
I can do that.
And so if we're right, we get a ding.
Right, you get a...
Well, you get an umbrella. I mean, really.
Just the umbrella? There you go.
There we go. And if we're wrong, what sound do we hear? I gotcha. Okay.
And if you're close, you get...
And the people of the world say...
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
If one of you guys is, you know, if you're wrong, do you have anything that sounds like gas?
Like,
well yeah.
I do. It's not a sound effect.
All right. Let's see what you come up with. So
happy
the first
as a
one,
clam?
Happy as a clam. Now, I don't know why a clam would be happy. You know, it's, you know, anyway, I don't really.
Why
a clam? Why would a clam be happy and why would you be happy as a clam?
I don't know. You want me to figure out where it came from?
I think you should. You should just make an uneducated guess.
happy as a clam. I don't know. Why would a clam? Why would you think a clam would be happy?
Because they stay put most of the time, and they're just they don't locomote. They're just sort of sedentary, right?
Yeah. That's not bad. That's not bad. And you know, I'm the one with the answers, so I can come off like a genius.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
Yeah, I wouldn't know any of these.
Ford is very bright. What do you think?
I'm thinking when a clam is opened up and you're looking at it. The bottom of it, it's almost in the form of a smile.
Did you just read?
Oh, well, that's good.
You know what? Let me ask you something, and I want you to be honest.
Yes.
I need you to be honest, or you're done. Did you just read my paper?
I did not.
He didn't.
You
he didn't.
Are
Nor did
a genius. A genius.
Nor did he
is
get
that
on
the answer, really?
The answer is that it's been suggested that open clams give the appearance of a smile.
Hey. Wow. You know, wow.
I have already been impressed with you before and that you're going to replace Spiewak really soon. But
might
you
be
know,
okay with that.
Okay, so what does barking up the wrong tree mean? Where did that come from?
That would be...
Well, now, you can say the meaning of the expression if you like, but you have to say what the origin was.
The origin, I think it comes from, you're barking up the wrong tree. That would be if a dog was chasing a cat, but had somehow gotten mixed up and went to the wrong tree.
You're extremely close.
I'd like to amend that.
Go ahead.
Hunting raccoons. Dogs would chase raccoons up a tree, and then the hunter would cut the tree down to get the raccoon. But when they treed the raccoon, the dog would bark up the tree to indicate that that's where the coon was.
Okay.
But when the dog would tree the raccoon and bark to indicate that's where it was, if he was barking up the wrong tree, he was misleading the owner of the dog. And so he was barking up the wrong
you
tree.
You are extreme. So the answer is what both of you are saying.
Yeah.
The illusion is to hunting dogs barking at the bottom of trees where they mistakenly think that their quarry is hiding.
Okay.
So you are right there, guys. Right there.
That's great.
You know, it's a very smart room. Go ahead.
It is a smart room. But now, I did not know this about hunting raccoons, and it seems rather extreme. So you're out hunting raccoons.
Right.
You have a dog.
Right.
Dog chases the raccoon or thinks, there's a raccoon in this tree.
Right.
He barks. The hunter then has to chop down the tree to get the raccoon?
This is the basis of a book that I was assigned in fourth grade called Where the Red Fern Grows.
It's a great book.
It's a great book, and it's about a young kid that saves a lot of money and buys two hunting dogs. And one of the great challenges is that the first raccoon that the dog trees is the biggest tree in the forest.
Oh, wow.
And he has to cut this tree down because it's the deal he's made with his dogs.
Right.
That if they chase it up there, he'll cut it down. And that's part. That's a good hunk of the book. But that's where I got that.
There comes a time in every man's life that he has to cut down the biggest tree in the forest.
Wow.
You know, he is prophetic. You know, there's
or he's deep. High. It's one or the other.
Really?
Are we? Did you say prophetic or pathetic?
I didn't say
either
pathetic.
Either way. I'm out of range.
Win. All right, so the next one, and feel free to edit out whatever you want, but I'm sorry I'm going for this.
Oh, no.
Cold enough to freeze the balls off a brass monkey.
Wow. This is this is our first R-rated show, I think.
It has nothing to do with the Beastie Boys. Who had a song called Brass Monkey.
It was a funky monkey.
It was a funky monkey. I recuse myself and throw it to Mr. Perkins.
Say it again.
Cold enough to freeze the balls of a brass monkey. Now,
okay.
I've heard it, but
I'm
I have not.
Guess.
I've not heard it lately, but I have heard the
that's
expression.
That's an old one. I'm going to get. Well, first of all.
And it's not a dirty answer,
No, but. Did brass monkeys used to be anatomically correct? And this is just, I don't know.
Does brass change its chemical properties at low temperatures?
No, but that's a very smart answer.
Well, it's a very, like, Hollywood Squares answer.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer.
I disagree.
Thank you.
That's good.
Charlie Weaver.
Yeah, what are you? Yeah,
I'll take Charlie Weaver to block.
I was going to say, what are you, the middle square? No, and I love this answer because you know what? You can learn a little something.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
It really is.
You know, we're
that and
teaching
and retribution.
Right.
So There are references that say brass triangles that supported stacks of iron cannonballs on sailing ships were called monkeys, and that in cold weather, the metal contracted, causing the balls to fall off the thing. And I love that.
Oh,
don't you?
That is so cool.
And we were not even close.
It's such a throwback to the early ships and like cannonballs on, you know, it's great.
Because now it makes sense.
It sure does.
But it would lose something over the years as you're not dealing with it.
But you were partially right because you asked about whether or not there were chemical changes.
Right.
Well, they're saying that these things would contract.
Yeah, but I can't take credit for that. I was thinking that the balls would actually, on the monkey, would fall off.
Okay. So, all right.
But the bright side is that if you guys were on that boat, the eye patches would have fit in just fine.
That's a great one. That's a great
That's
one.
That's good.
Ladies and gentlemen,
after
Rob
party.
Speed.
We need after party for that.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's good.
Was that Streisand?
That was.
Okay.
She has that on it. It's a bonus track on the new album.
It's a duet.
Yes. Okay. I like this one.
Okay.
Close but no cigar.
Close. But no, close, but no cigar.
Think about, like, where would you get, close, but no cigar. Why would you get a cigar?
I have a guess.
Okay,
go ahead.
Is it a reference to a miscarriage?
Ooh.
Oh, that is so dark.
Not in any way disturbed, Ralford.
Yeah. No, but not I mean, based on what you just said, I would get that, although no
because
one...
Because they give out cigars to celebrate the birth.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get a cigar this time.
That would be a terrible thing to say. Hey, did you guys have the baby? She miscarried. But no cigar.
Rob, go back to reading the obituaries.
We'll the only reason we were going to have the baby was that I wanted to smoke a cigar.
All right, to try and drag it back among the living. Does it have to do with, like, perhaps at a carnival, a game of skill, something that involves accuracy, that if you won, you would win a cigar, but if you just missed, it was close, but you did not win the cigar?
Are you a member of Mensa?
I am not.
Ooh.
No.
I bet that sounds about right.
Do you know that he just nailed it?
Did he nail it?
Hey!
Oh, my goodness!
Because I come from carnival people.
I knew you were special in that bad way.
But
now you're really. I mean, you have a great head.
That's
you
very
really
good.
Do.
Wow.
That was because
that's
I think
exciting, isn't it?
I think that was a tough question, and a tough answer.
Clearly,
to find,
judging
you know?
By Rob Ford's answer.
Yeah. Wow.
I love that though.
No after party for that one.
No. But
perhaps an analyst.
But a new name for the episode. Close but no cigar.
Okay. I like this one a lot. I like this one a lot.
I think this will be the last
not
one.
That it, who are you to decide that it's the last one?
I'm looking. Know?
He's opinionated.
I'm looking at the clock.
You're like every TV producer ever had.
I have responsibilities too.
I know you do, but all right.
Well, if you got a better one.
No, I just feel like we're back on GMA where you get to tell me what to do all the time.
It was just like it was kind of running the show there. For
a second. Well, actually, you can run the show. Okay. You know,
maybe if you gave him a cigar.
No, I'm only featured by.
I know.
You know?
No,
all right.
No.
No, in a good way.
Get
in a good way.
Get to the thing.
Maybe. Oh, you see, this just got ugly.
Yeah. You know what? I've never mind. This comes as right after on the heels of what we just did here. Where did Bury the Hatchet come from?
That probably refers to a Native American thing where, you know what, let's make peace now. We've been warring. Let's bury the hatchet so we can shoot you because you won't have any weapons.
And you see, nope. I always thought it was the least popular cartoon character. His name is Barry, and he's a hatchet. and he's Barry the Hatchet, and he's not popular.
It was a pilot for a cartoon that never launched.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny was much more popular than Barry the Hatchet.
But in his defense, he was happy as a clam.
You're not allowed to bring that prescription back into the studio ever again, Rob.
Am I close? I think
no,
I'm...
you're not close. You nailed it.
I nailed it?
You nailed it.
Sorry. An inadvertent buzzer.
Woo! After party.
And that's why. You know what? Tony knew somehow, because we are telepathic with each other.
Yes.
The reason why he said it was the last one is because he got it.
Yeah, and he wins.
Yeah.
Yay, Tony wins. Yay.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that.
What do I win?
What do you win? Yeah. A cigar.
And a hatchet. Cigar.
And a hatchet. Everything mentioned. And brass balls.
Well, you know, some of us may have had that already.
Again with the bragging.
Yeah, he is.
Here.
No, I didn't mean, how do you know I meant me?
Oh.
I think we know.
Unbelievably, our time has gone by.
Zoom, man.
Let's start the show.
Were we recording?
Yeah.
Rob Spiewak, a pleasure to have you here once
Always.
Again.
Thank you, fellas. Really honored to be
Love
part
you.
Of it.
Love
we
you.
We thank Michael Mara for loaning you to us. Rob Ford Jr., you're a genius, man.
Rob, you well, are something
you.
Else, man.
Thank you.
Thank
Love
you. Rob Ford.
What a delight.
Clam.
What a delight.
Gary Stein, as always, lots of fun.
Always a pleasure, Tony.
We thank you. I thank you. And I remind you, folks, tell your friends about the show, share it, all that kind of thing, and please like The Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Follow us at T-Perk Show on Twitter. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching More Broadcasting and then clicking on The Tony Perkins Show.
5-star reviews always welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob.
I'm Gary Stein. We'll see you next time.
I'm Tony Perkins, and we'll see you real soon.
The Tony Perkins Show. A More Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.